The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
We changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left. I'm Radio Pastor Ernie Sanders, and indeed this is the voice of the Christian resistance on this 26th day, Wednesday, of January 2022. And tonight, of course, we have one more time the Mighty Andrew on the board.
Good evening, Pastor.
Good evening, Mighty Andrew. And I'm going to do a poem. Ready? When you get the notion to get your ailments potion, then set your mind in motion and get Wendy's cough potion extra fine number 9. What do you think of that? Okay. Wendy, do you know what day this is?
It's Wednesday.
Yeah, it's Wendy's Wednesday. Well, a couple things happened. It's been a good day and it's been a bad day, but here, did you hear what I just did? I just coughed. Now, do you know, Do you realize? Do you realize I went 2 days in a row without coughing? And now I just, that wasn't much of a cough, kind of like a really weak, wimpy one, huh?
Yeah.
I mean, if you're going to cough, you might as well do it right, right? Anyhow, the reason I said that, it's been a good day and a bad day. It's a bad day when you run off the road and you hit a tree with your car. I didn't run off the road. I slid off because I ran into a snow pile, and I slid off and just slid sideways into a tree. So that's bad. Mm-hmm. The good news is my wife came home, and my son and his family, they've been in Florida, and me and my dogs have been here all along for the last 2 weeks. And so it's been tough because my dog and I have been taking turns cooking.
And yeah.
It hasn't worked out well for either one of us, but anyhow... But anyhow, it's a good day because I have Miss Wendy here with me. And there you go.
Great to be with you.
All righty. Now, we got a lot of stuff to do. And by the way, here, when I was talking about your cough potion, remember you told me 10 days to 2 weeks? Well, from the time I started taking it, it took 2 weeks. And right just about the end of that 2 weeks, that's when I had my first couple of days without coughing. So it looked like it's working.
Yeah, typically it can, you know, it depends on how long you've had the cough issue, but usually that's about right.
I think I've had that cough issue for about a month or so, maybe 6 weeks. It's just not a big cough. It's a dry cough. It's an itchy. It's
right.
An itchy cough.
Right.
But I noticed something else, too. Mm-hmm. It only happens when I go to get on the radio, and then I've noticed too, somebody brought up, they always take and clean everything. They always clean the table, clean the microphones, clean the headsets with those sterilized, you know, towels and that.
Yeah.
And you know, because you have different people using the studios and that. And when it's now, I'm starting to think that that's got something to do with my cough, because when I start getting around that, and then as soon as I leave, I'm not coughing. I'm not coughing when I get home. So I think I may be onto something. But even with that, your potion has helped me.
Well, so, I think you're referring to the thyme tincture, correct?
Yeah. The thyme and that little bitty bottle of stuff that my wife took that. Uh-huh. And the
pneumonia kit?
Yeah. Okay. So all of the potions, I just put them together. I've been using that in VA juice, but just recently I've been using it in grape juice.
Okay.
And that's good. Well, listen, do you know the title of the message?
No, what's the title?
For such a time as this. For such a time as this, right now, okay? And we started over in Esther, and then we went to Ecclesiastes 3, and tonight we're in Hebrews chapter 11. And it's that's the chapter of the heroes of the faith. Now, two words, Wendy, two words describe our faith. And those two words, one is confidence, and the other is certainty. The longer that we walk with God, the easier it becomes to trust in Him. The more that we learn about His character, the easier it is to trust in His promises. And it's something that's hard to tell people that are not saved. If they haven't experienced, it's very hard. But do you know what I'm talking about? You get there's the certainty that God gives you that peace that passes all understanding about certain things. In a sense, the Lord is talking to you through the Holy Spirit. But you just know. Now, try to explain that to someone that's not saved, and they kind of think you're nuts, huh?
Yeah, they don't think on that realm, you know? It's sort of like a, I don't know, outer space experience for them.
Yep. Well, we're going to start in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, and the evidence of things not seen. For by it elders obtained a good report. But you know what? Right there, I think I need to do something. I need to jump over here because there's a passage in Scripture that kind of explains that. And that's over there in the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verses 19 through 31. Here. Then the same day at evening, the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst. And he said unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had said so, he showed them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, Receive you the Holy Ghost, whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. Now, you know, Thomas was a doubter, okay? But Thomas's doubt was for such a time as this. There wasn't no accident that happened. Many things throughout the Bible. For example, people would say, why was this man lame from birth? Why was it? Was it or impotent? Or why did this woman have, bleeding? And so here the Lord said, you know, it wasn't for anybody's sin. It was for this time, for such a time as the Lord would heal them. An issue. That's what she had, an issue of blood. It was so that the Lord Jesus would do that miracle there. And these things were, you know, not done, you know, willy-nilly. They were done very, very purposefully. Now here, when he, now we haven't seen the nail prints in the Lord's side, or the, you know, or in his hands or in his side. But we have, what do we have that that Thomas, Doubting Thomas, didn't have?
I guess faith.
Well, we have 66 completed books of the canon here. We have the greatest source of wisdom up on the highest authority we have right here, you and I. Now, they didn't have this, did we? So we have example after example after example throughout for 6,000 years. We have 6,000 years of history documented, and here again, it's the highest form of authority. There's no other form of authority that carries, you know, no other book of information or knowledge that carries with it absolute authority as this book right here, God's Word, the Bible. And so he says here, and so when he says this, when he said he appeared, he, you know, amongst them, in the midst of them, stood in the midst of them, I mean, he didn't come through the door. So how is it, do you think, that he ended up there?
Well, he just appeared, I guess.
Okay. Do you know what that is? He changes dimensions. There's a, years ago, I used to do, we had a lot of nuclear physicists on the program, and these guys were Christians, and they were talking about, they did studies, and as we went through, they were studying the appearances of God in the Bible, and here they noticed how a door would open, a door would open, a door would open, and God would step out. And they explained that, and that was the changing of a dimension, going from one dimension to another. And this is how, they know that it works, but they don't know how to make it work. But they know that it's there. It's one of the dimensions. And so here, when we take a look at this, let's pick it up here. But Thomas, one of the 12, well, no, let's go down here. And when he had heard and said, and he breathed on them and said unto them, receive you the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins you remit, you are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. How do you think? I mean, only God can forgive sins, okay? I mean, you know, we can forgive one another, those who sin against us, but only God can forgive the sins. So how is this then when he's telling them this? What do you think he... Well, I think maybe I'll just answer that for you. Because you see, what he's telling them is better read here if what he's saying is, you're going to remit the sins that's already been decided. See, this has already been decided in heaven. They're going to forgive the sins that God has already forgiven, okay? And they're not going to forgive the sins that he has not forgiven. And so that is the way that to receive you the Holy Ghost, and whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. In other words, it's been done. It's in other words, it's already been decided. And did you know that?
Well, I do now.
Yep. Well, you're a smart lady, anyhow. You pick up on things really quick. Here,
I try.
Yep. But Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. Now, what do you think? Here, Thomas, is it always a bad idea to want proof?
Sometimes it is.
Sometimes it is. If God tells you to do something, should you say, well, how do I know? I mean, Zechariah said that got him in trouble, didn't it?
Yeah.
Okay. And if God tells you, now, you could do that with other people, right? I mean, and you should. Because, I mean, we should have proof, okay? We shouldn't just take the word of somebody just because they say that. But with God, that's different, right?
Yes, it is.
And so, And after 8 days, again the disciples were within, and Thomas was with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and he stood in the midst and said, "Peace be unto you." Then he said to Thomas, "Reach hither thy finger, and behold in my hands, and reach thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing." Then Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord, my God." Jesus said unto him, "Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed." And many are other signs did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which were not written in this book. But these that are written, that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. And so with that, let's go on back to where we left off in Hebrews 11. And we pick it up in verse 3. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things that are seen were not made of things which do appear. What do you think he meant by that? Things which are seen, okay, were made of things which do not appear.
Well, I think it says which do appear.
Which do appear, yeah. You're right. Things which were seen were not made of things which do. So, in other words, if you and I make something, if you make an apple pie, you've got to have some apples and some pie, right? Some
crust.
Well,
you have to have flour and sugar and cinnamon and apples and butter. Yeah, you got to have that.
Yeah, you should have been here cooking for me and the dog.
Anyhow,
so here. But with man, that's impossible. With man, it's impossible. We can't make matter out of energy, can we?
No.
Okay. But God spoke it into existence. Okay, so how could somebody do that? How could he do such a thing? There's only one way that he could do such a thing, and that is to have unlimited power. God knows how to convert energy into material and vice versa. Now we do know how to convert material into energy, don't we?
Yeah, we've learned a few things. Uh-huh.
Yeah. But God, he can do the opposite. In fact, you see, he is not hindered. He has no liabilities. There is no limitation to his power, is there?
Right.
You know who told us that? God. And so, by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained a witness that he was righteous. God testifying of his gifts, and by it is being dead, yet he speaketh. And so, how did Abel spoke to God two ways, you know, even though he was dead, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
One is his sacrifice. First of all, he actually ended up offering two sacrifices. One, the blood of the lamb, and second, his own blood, huh?
Right.
And so, by faith, his sacrifice was accepted. Cain's was not. Was it not? Was it because what Cain offered was not acceptable?
Right. Well, you know, he was not a cheerful giver, let's put it that way.
Well, it was not that his sacrifice was not, it was his attitude. Right. God looks upon the hearts of people, huh?
Mm-hmm.
And so, by faith, Enoch was translated that we should not see death, and was not found because God translated him. Before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. We talked about that last week. Sure.
Okay, so that translation, is that similar to the rapture?
Well, a lot of people refer to that as the rapture. There are people that have written a book and that hold to, and I can understand. I don't use that terminology. But here, okay, for example, and if you, there are basically seven raptures that, if you're going to use that terminology, if you're going to call a translation a rapture, then you have the Lord Jesus in Acts chapter 1, okay, when he was taken up. You have Enoch, which we just read here. Well, actually, that's in chapter 5 of Genesis, where it talks about that. You have Elijah in 2 Kings chapter 2. Remember, he was taken up in a whirlwind. You have, of course, the body of Christ in 1 Thessalonians 4. That's the rapture of the church. And then you have Moses and Elijah in Revelation chapter 2. You've got the 144,000 Jewish evangelists, 144,000 flaming John the Baptist. They're taken out. You got the great multitude of the martyred Gentiles in Revelation 7-9. So I only recognize the two, what I call raptures, and that's the church age saints and the tribulation saints, which we just talked about. So
another question.
Yeah.
Another question. Do you suppose that when the rapture occurs, the people and their earthly physical carbon bodies will just disappear?
Yeah. You mean when we're taken out?
Yeah. I mean, if you're still alive, you know, on Earth, I mean, you just, in a twinkling of an eye, you just kind of vanish.
Yeah, because our bodies is going to be, if we're alive, it's going to be transformed into glorified bodies. So,
okay.
But those that have gone before us, their molecules are going to be reorganized and made into glorified bodies. But if we're, mm-hmm, those of us that are still alive, if we're still alive during that time, our bodies are going to be transformed right before our eyes.
Well, I suppose life insurance companies won't be paying out on those death benefits, huh?
Life insurance companies going to have other things to worry about.
You have, it's that habeas corpus problem. There's no body, you know.
Yeah.
You can't prove you're dead, you know.
You're right about that. Anyhow, let me pick it up where we left off. Where did I leave off? Okay, here. And so, but by faith it was impossible to please him, for he cometh to God, must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So, is just believing that God exists, is that enough?
No.
Who else believes that God exists?
Satan,
yeah. Also, James 2:19 says that even the devils tremble. They know that God exists and they tremble. Okay. Do you think that the demons know Scripture?
I think they do. Yeah.
Well, we know Satan does because he tempted the Lord Jesus when he said, "Remember," and also in the Garden of Eden. Is it not written? Okay, so, and he used that on Jesus, and he tried to use God's own words against him. Didn't work very well for him. But here, so how do we know that the demons? Remember when he cast the demons out of the wild man, the crazy man. And he, and they said, "What are you doing? Your time is not yet. Your time is not yet, son of man." In other words, so they were telling him, "Yeah, hey, this isn't the time yet. What are you doing here now?" And so then they had to have some knowledge of prophecy, huh?
Right, and timing too. I mean, how do they know? You know, even Jesus doesn't know the day of his return.
Well, yeah, that's true. So, but by faith, well, there's a lot of things that have to be, that we know will be accomplished, or, and most all of them have been, before the rapture of the church and the tribulation period. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Now, here, Rick Ward said in his book, The Purpose-Driven Life, that after 40 days on the ark, Noah was converted. What's wrong with that problem?
Yeah, that's a little late, isn't it?
Well, Noah preached repentance for 120 years before he ever went into the ark.
Right.
And so 120 years is a little bit more than 40 days, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and back then, time didn't fly like it does now.
Right, and would you suffer ridicule and preach repentance for 120 years if you didn't believe?
Yeah, I'm sure you got a few tomatoes thrown at him.
Yeah, yep. In other words, remember what was happening. He said, hey, listen, what are you doing? What are you building that boat for? Well, because it's going to be a flood. A flood? It's going to be a flood. What's a flood? It's going to rain. What do you mean? What is rain? What is rain? Remember, they didn't have rain. They just had what? Dew, a heavy dew that was set, right? Now, everything was watered by a mist and a dew, right? And Noah's...
Yeah, like the produce section at your grocery store.
Yeah. So Noah's telling, hey, you're going to have rain, and it's going to be a flood, and the earth's going to be covered with water, and it's going to have oceans. And they're thinking, this guy is... he's not all there, is he, right? But they should have understood, because Noah told him. I mean, didn't they know that they were created in the image of somebody, right?
Yeah, they knew that.
Okay, they weren't really that far away from Adam and Eve, were they? I mean, you know.
Right.
So they should have really known, huh?
Right.
So, now, is God completely, totally just? Is God merciful and just? So, had they been ignorant, had they not known, remember what he told the Pharisees? Had you not known and not understood, then you would have no sin. But now that you've been told, and now that you understand, you have no cloak for your sin. So, God would never have, if he had not given them every single opportunity to repent, and if they had not understood, he would have never would have destroyed them, right?
Right.
But they didn't want to. They didn't want to believe, did they?
No, they didn't.
So he gave them every opportunity. Hang tight. We'll be back right after this. Don't go away.
Song for all of you liberals who believe your ways are best, who don't mind overcrowding this nation with a swarm of foreign immigrants, who don't care about the population, who don't care if it's fouling our nest. When are you ever gonna read the writing upon the wall? We got crime overtaking our cities. We got gangs taking over our streets. We keep handing out more and more welfare, though it never seems to meet their needs. What kind of culture are we cultivating? One where you never have to pull any weeds. If we don't stop this immigration, this great nation's gonna fall. Let's get a grip on immigration in these great United States. It's high time that we limit their numbers. It's high time that we close up that gate. Now can't
Can't you see how we are rapidly becoming another third world fascist state? Let's get a grip on immigration in these great United States. How can we ever come to any solution when all we ever do is debate? We've got to get a tighter grip on our borders. We've got to seriously legislate and quit trying to fan the flame that I'm a racist and quit trying to fabricate that I hate. And get a grip on immigration. Now you know it's not too late. Let's get a grip on immigration in these great United States. It's high time that we limit their numbers. It's high time we start closing that gate. And quit trying to fan the flame that I'm a racist. And quit trying to fabricate that I hate. And get a grip on immigration in these great United States. Let's get a grip on immigration. Now you know it's not too late. It's high time that we limit their numbers. It's high time that we close a bad gate. Can't you see how we are rapidly becoming another third world fascist police state? Let's get a grip on immigration in these great United States. And quit trying to fan the flame that I'm a racist. And quit trying to fabricate that I hate. And get a grip on immigration in these great United States.
All right, we're back. Hey, Wendy, did you see what China Joe's doing and the deep state, his deep state boys? They're bringing in these young guys, a military age, a fighting age, and they're bringing them in by nights, and they're taking them to locations. And this is treason, what's happening. It's totally illegal. And they're going to put it.
They're bringing in Americans or foreign people?
Foreigners.
Oh, okay.
These are people they're bringing in. And they're going to bring them in for whatever they need to do, to start riots, if that means to rig elections, to whatever it is. They're doing it in the middle of the night. They're giving these people money. This is treason. It's high treason being committed by Biden and the deep state. And this is happening now in America. They're trying to reduce us to a third world status. So, and that's what's going on. And you know what? And it looks like that a barrel of oil might go up to $150 a barrel. That means you're going to be paying $4 or $5 for a gallon of gasoline. And you folks out there, remember I told you before, remember those people that have the Biden signs in the yard? So when you see them, you can thank them for our nation falling apart. Thank them for the higher gas prices. See, you say, well, Pastor Uni, that's awful mean. No, let me tell you what that is. It's just. It's just. You need to do this. You need to let them know. Okay, you're the reason because of what you did. You voted for a wicked man. That was a sin. According to God's word, the Bible, it's a sin to vote for a wicked person, and you did it, knowing it. And so, anyhow, there you go. And so I have Miss Wendy Wilson, and right here I have the Apothecary Herbs Catalog, the one without my picture in it. And it's a book in medicine. It's like, folks, these are real, true medicines. And so I encourage you, I'm going to give you the phone number where you can call and get your own catalog at 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663. And this is thepowerherbs.com. And you can go to thepowerherbs.com and you can find it there. But these catalogs are filled with all of the information. You know, you take your catalogs and you take Dr. Peter Glidden's book on the attempt to cure, where he lists from A to Z the different diseases and all the natural herbs that you can use to treat those. I mean, check this out. Not just treat the disease, but cure the disease. To cure the disease. Remember how they used to do that, Wendy?
Yeah, they used to actually bring you back to your original state of wellness, right? Remember that?
Yeah, and it wasn't just about making money. It was about actually curing people, huh?
Right.
And so, there you go. All right, I'm going to turn it over to you and tell us what's been Wendy, what has Wendy been up to?
Well, I texted you, what topic did you want me to cover?
Oh, yeah, you know what, I've had a busy day. When you run into trees, you have a busy day.
Let me see. There's three topics.
Tell me what they are.
The Band-Aid vaccines are back in the news. We can talk about those. We can talk about the truth about medical tests. And or the last one is there a kill switch in the vaccine?
Boy, now you've made me a hard choice. Let's go with the kill switch.
The kill switch, okay. Well, you know, that's been kind of batted around lately. People think there's kill switches in the serum. But, you know, there has been kind of chatter on the COVID vaccine and what's referred as the kill switch that activates the cytokine storm action inside the body. And some of this chatter going on that this does exist, and it's coming from scientists who have examined the COVID serum. So we're going to check this out. First, let's cover what a cytokine storm is. Do you have any idea what that is?
No. That's...
Well, essentially, it's basically an exaggerated and dangerous immune system response, normally caused by a drug therapy cocktail or a vaccine. So the immune system has many different cells, and it uses them to fight infections. And these cells communicate with each other using molecules called cytokines. So we often hear the term autoimmune disease, where the immune system seems to attack its own host. And science states that system that has this action has gone haywire. It blames it on the person's genes. But that's far from the truth, typically. Autoimmune issues are often triggered or caused by drug treatment. And according to science, a cytokine storm is an immune system creating too many inflammatory signals and often the cause of organ failure and death in a patient. Okay? So it's really hard to treat once one of those things gets started, typically. So what we're hearing more about these cytokine storms due to the COVID-19 pandemic, and scientists are saying that it's the virus that's causing this to occur. However, you know, this is occurring in those who were vaccinated with the COVID shot. So let's talk about symptoms real quick. What does a cytokine storm look like? Well, you get fevers and chills. You get fatigue, you get swelling in your extremities, maybe nausea and vomiting, muscle joint aches, headaches, rash, maybe a cough, shortness of breath and rapid breathing. Seizures and tremors can enter into the mix, as well as difficulty coordinating your movement or confusion and hallucinations, being lethargic and having a poor responsiveness, lots of inflammation, blood clots, and vascular system breakdown. That kind of sounds like COVID to me.
Boy, does it.
Mm-hmm. Well, here is a quote from Very Well Health. They stated this on November 4th, 2021. They said, people hospitalized in the ICU from COVID-19 seem to have more elevations in certain inflammatory cytokines compared to those not infected. So let's look at this study real quick, too, before we forget. This is a 2020 study. This is Cornell University in New York. They did a study on Listeria protein. Do you know what Listeria is, Pastor?
You know what? I've just been reading that the last couple in some articles, but would remind me.
It's a food poisoning. Usually you find it in food. It's also found in soil. But Listeria is one of those proteins that can give you food poisoning. It is a foodborne pathogen, typically. Very common strain of bacteria that you can find in soil. And what we discovered here is that when Listeria proteins get edited with the CRISPR device by the lab technicians, it turns it into a kill switch. Hmm. So what science has done is taken this protein from a bacteria, and it's using it in a very precise way. They edit the RNA, and what is really RNA? Well, it's a ribonucleic acid that is present in all living cells, and the principal function is for it to be a messenger delivering instructions from the DNA and controlling the synthesis of proteins. So your immune system needs that communication, see? So DNA carries that genetic information, and the proteins are switches, and they activate or deactivate a function. And the research on this did get published in the July 2020 Journal of Science. Let me read you a quote from one of the professors there, Martin Weidman, with the Food and Safety Agency in Cornell. They said, thanks to this bacterium, we're getting a chance to turn functions off and on, and our ability to make changes to RNA. They go on to say, this new editing accessory may be useful to the coronavirus research. And Alice Kessel, Rockefeller Weidman Laboratory, says, the edited protein can shut off things. This is very useful controlling applications. It's a kill switch. That's what she called it, a kill switch you can use as an additional tool at our disposal, end of quote. So they could have included that easily in any injectable serum, Pastor.
Hmm. You know what? What you're talking about, I think it's exactly, let me see. Listen, I'm going to try to play something just a little bit, a couple of minutes. We're going to be showing some of these films. Now, this is a federal agent, CIA agents, and they're talking to, this is the Fauci bunch. These are the people, the deep state, They're being recorded here, telling them what they can do. I'll play just a few minutes of this here. Let me do this. And here, Wendy.
I want to make people sick. And what I do here is the virus is not necessarily the bug. The virus is what I put over the internet. Let me show you how I can crash a system pretty easily. I affect key individuals here, here, and here. And then I take another community in the back of the room. I affect key individuals there. And then I take another community. I affect key individuals there. And what I tell you it's going to do is it's going to produce paranoia, anxiety, and sleeplessness. What I've just done is I've recruited every paranoid hypochondriac to think that they have whatever that is. I've used salient and sentinel cases, and I create essentially a legion of what's known as the worried well. They now flood emergency rooms. They flood their clinicians. The CDC responds back.
Listen to Agent Smith from the deep state describe the plandemic in horrific detail. This video is from 2017. Inside a secret government facility. This is what government agents talk about behind closed doors. They're worse than Dr. Evil. They're monsters. And what you're about to hear in this broadcast is going to terrify you in ways you've never been terrified before.
Well, we're going to probably be showing that, one of those films. We have current events at Doers of the Word Church where we try to keep people informed. We're the watchman on the wall. We warn people what's happening. And what that is, that was a feds, a meeting of the deep state. And that was, they were, it was being filmed and recorded. And they, what you're just talking about is how they can activate, how they can control people. This is the entire Deathocratic Communist Collective here. But this is the deep state. And these are the same people that are involved in bringing all of these illegal aliens in the middle of the night, taking them to airports, dispersing them, getting these cell groups ready. So when they're told to start to, whatever they're told to do, they do. Now, the Deathocrats, already the word out, the chatter is out there that they want to stop the midterm elections. They know if there is a fair and legal election, they're gone. And so, but that's what you're talking, in this, they talk about what you're saying, how they can activate this, Wendy, and actually control the minds of people, too.
Well, you know, the more I read about how they're using certain proteins that are edited to do certain things to control the body through changing the way the body communicates and messengers. See, that's why I'm saying a psychotine storm where your immune system goes haywire, the way the immune system communicates has been disrupted. Okay? And something was introduced to do that, because your immune system normally doesn't do that. But I have heard recently that there's a lab in Texas that has started their processes to manufacture a serum for Ebola, right? And usually when you want to manufacture a serum for Ebola, you're going to use it, aren't you?
You would think so.
Yeah, so the National Primate Research Center is working with the Texas Biomedical Research Institute, and they're using animal primates in their animal trial. But I think I've covered this with you before, that research out of one journal article was saying hemorrhagic fevers like Ebola, there's some herbs that inhibit those types of pathogens, and one of them is an herb that has, or there's several herbs that have genistein in it. It's a isoflavone that inhibits the hemorrhagic fever. So gentian root, alfalfa, red clover, American ginseng, and dryer's broom herb all have that genistein in it.
Well.
Yeah.
So, and you carry all that, don't you?
We do have the gentian root. It's a hemorrhagic pathogen inhibitor. So we love it for digestive reasons as well, but it just has that other benefit with it.
Okay, well, we have, I had also, you were talking about that, I had a clip from Dr., let's see. Let me think here for a minute. What am I talking about now? The lady doctor we had on here with, she was talking about how you could, and Mede. That was her, Dr. Carrie Mede. And anyhow, what she was saying is what you were talking about a couple of years ago. Not so much this, but as far as detoxing in the bath. I'm going to play this, and then you tell me what you think about, because I heard most of this right from you first.
So detox, detox, detox. So I love detox baths. They take care of radiation poisoning. They take care of pesticides. They take care of heavy metals, all kinds of things, even some parasites. So if you got a bathtub, you know someone's got a bathtub, that's the easiest, fastest way. Good old baking soda. So one or two cups of baking soda, one or two cups of Epsom salts in there. That already is a wonderful radiation detox. It gets fungus, yeast out of your body as well. You add a little bit of bentonite clay. Aztec Secret is a wonderful brand, 1/2 to 1 cup. Now you've also got a major pull of poison coming out. You add in 1 cup of borax, you know, that laundry detergent. That'll take nanotechnology out of you. you scrub down, scrub down, scrub down. 20 minutes, how did you tolerate it, right? I'm just getting a new website started, carriemade.com, M-A-D-E-J. I'll put all the detoxes, everything I do is for free.
That's the woman that they arrested her for the January 6th, remember? They had broken into her house, the deep state, to the feds. Mm-hmm. Anyhow.
Yeah, what she was talking about reminds me of what European spas use. It's they call it the coal sheet treatment, where they pull a lot of impurities right out through the skin. You kind of soak in a hot bath with a bunch of herbs floating around in the bath, and it makes you sweat. And then after 20 minutes of that, you get wrapped in this sheet that's been soaking in 20 pounds of ice water. And then you go to bed. And then the sheet, all the impurities come out through the skin, and it discolors the sheet. So you want to use the sheet you don't care about, obviously. It's what they've been using for hundreds of years to fast-track addiction right out of the system, whether it's chemical or emotional issues, it comes right on out. All these impurities, I've said before, are stumbling blocks for the body to regenerate and heal itself, you know?
Yeah. I've seen that, and I've seen examples of where they've showed you the sheets and the stuff that's come out of people.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's almost like a really gross tie dye. You know?
Yeah. It is. And after playing that, we had guys that hadn't taken baths in months and months, and they decided to try it out. No, only kidding, folks. But God really knew what he was doing, didn't he? I mean, the stuff that's in your book is what God gave us, and the stuff that's in the drugstore, a lot of that, you know, came from down below, right?
Right. Well, I mean, it makes sense, you know. Satan is certainly here on planet Earth. It's his domain, and that's his job, to corrupt everything that's good and turn things around, you know.
Well, he's been doing a good job of it lately, hasn't he?
Right. I mean, you know, what better way to corrupt, you know, man than to make them think they're doing something that's good for themselves when it's not?
Yeah. You know? All righty, I tell you what, I'm going to give your number out, 866, folks. You really need to get this catalog, you really do, because I don't know if anyone has ever gotten it that we're sorry that they did. And if I had a lot of them, I would ship them out for absolutely free. If Wendy would make me up a couple thousand, I would ship them out free to you, because these things, she's got what God has given us. It's in there. And it tells you how to use this stuff, too. So
yeah, well, they can call and get a free copy. You know, we ship them out for free. They just go on our website or give us a call on our toll-free number.
866-229-3663. 866-229-3663. Hang tight, Wendy. We're coming up to a break. Then when we come back, we got a whole lot of stuff to go through. So get ready, and I'll get your commentary on a bunch of them. Be right back.
Light the fire. Light the light. We are there. Let's come against the night.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to wrwl.org. That's wrwl.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. Thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.